Good morning. We know summer is a wonderful season. The days are longer, families take vacations, and children are out of school. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying yourself when you go out on vacation. There's nothing wrong with that. Actually, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks and sees good in all his labor, it is the gift of God." But summer can also be spiritually dangerous. For many, summer becomes a season where routines fall apart. Bible reading slows down. Prayer becomes inconsistent. Worship attendance becomes optional. Modesty is neglected. And entertainment takes over. The Christian is not called to drift through any season of life. We are called as Christians to walk carefully, live wisely, and redeem the time. It is not a time to say, "I can do whatever I please to do." We must make sure as Christians that we are still living according to how God tells us to live through His Word. And so, redeem the summer by walking carefully, as we see in our main text here, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, "Therefore, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." The Christian life here is described as a walk. That means our faith is not limited to just Sunday morning. Christianity is not merely something we attend. It is something we live. It's our whole life. It's the way, it's what we should want to do, how we should live. It's not just for Sundays or Wednesdays. It's every day we wake up and we get to enjoy this life once again. Paul says we must be careful how we walk. This means we must pay attention to every step we take, making sure every step lines up with the Word of God. Because when we take an unwise step, there are consequences. It can cost us everything. And Peter warns in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be of sober spirit, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Guess what? Satan doesn't take a summer vacation. Temptation doesn't take vacation. This means we must be careful about where we go, what we watch, what we wear, and who we spend time with. Because Satan is roaming around looking for souls to devour. He will use anyone or anything to do so, to cause you to trip, to cause you to fall into sin. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 26 through 27. "Watch the track of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil." A careless Christian becomes a vulnerable Christian. We're not being sober-minded. We're not watching. We're not walking wisely. One little trip can cause a great fall. We can be swallowed up in an instant in sin. And so summer's a good time as we go through June, July, and part of August. It's a good time to ask, am I walking closer to God or am I drifting from Him? And so we must redeem the summer by living wisely. In the same verse, verse 15 of Ephesians 5, "Not as unwise, but as wise." So there are only two ways to live here. We either live wisely or we live foolishly. There's no in between. A wise person, we know, lives with eternity in view. We see all of this as temporary, knowing that beyond this life, there awaits us eternity, whether in heaven or in hell. Foolish person lives only for the moment. Once again, I don't know what the life motto is for Gen Z or even Gen Alpha, but my generation, it was YOLO, you only live once. Pretty much means I'm going to just live for this moment. I'm going to do what I want to do. And of course, when I graduated 2012, everybody thought the world was going to end. It didn't. They even made a movie about it. Pretty good movie. But we see a fool lives for pleasure. A wise person lives for God. People seek pleasure. But they don't realize it's only temporary. You have to keep fulfilling your needs, your wants. But at the end of the day, you're still empty. You're still looking for that temporary pleasure. Jesus told a parable about a rich man who had great possessions in Luke chapter 12, verses 19 and 20. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you prepared? So why was he a fool? Well, because he planned for life without preparing for eternity. We seek so many treasures here on earth to leave behind, to build up our legacies. But at the end of the day, when we take that last breath, we're not going to take anything with us. Everything we have, we own. Really, we don't own it. We'll go to someone else. Someone else will be living in your homes one day. Someone else will be driving your vehicle one day. Someone will be using your monies in whichever way they decide to. Only fools choose to live for the temporary, for the now, for the world. And sadly, this is how many choose to live during the summer. It isn't wise. Once again, a wise Christian plans spiritually. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Notice he did not say, seek the kingdom first, unless it's summer, unless it's vacation. He did not say, seek the kingdom first, unless you are busy. The kingdom must remain first in every season. Winter, fall, spring, whatever season there is, the kingdom must remain first. Redeem the summer by making the most of time. Paul says in verse 16 of Ephesians 5, redeeming the time because the days are evil. In James chapter 4, verse 14, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Time is one of the most precious gifts God gives us. We're limited to how long we live. Some people live to be 60, some 70, some 80, some 90. I think the oldest person in the world is 120 years old, which is truly amazing. But time is limited. Before we know it, we'll be 40, 50, 60 years old. Time flies. It doesn't wait on no one. And it's one of the easiest things to waste. Sometimes I catch myself doom scrolling, and what doom scrolling is, you get on social media and you just scroll, watching videos, whatever it may be. And before you know it, 10 minutes turns into 30, turns into 50, turns into an hour. An hour turns into 2 hours. You can waste a lot of time. It flies by. Life is short. Summer is short. Childhood is short. And opportunities are short. And so we are not to let summer pass with nothing spiritual accomplished. In Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. One goal that we can set for the summer, and really all year round, is to set a goal to study the word of God, to set aside time, whatever it may be, to sit and spend time in his word, whether it's an hour a day, 2 hours a day, 30 minutes a day. We should always be in his word. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Redeem the summer by praying more. Prayer is not just before you eat, before you go to sleep. Prayer is vital. It's how we communicate with God. It's the right he has given us to be able to communicate with him, to pray. And without prayer, you're not surviving the summer. You're not surviving life spiritually. You will find yourself sinking deep in sin. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Redeem the summer by serving others. This is something that a lot of people slack on, serving others. When we look at our Lord and Savior, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, he served others. He taught his disciples, you are to serve others, to have that mentality, to be humble, to humble ourselves, not thinking of ourselves as higher than anyone else. Because Paul sets the record straight. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none who are righteous, no, not one. None of us sitting here this morning deserves what Christ did for us on the cross. Not one person. But thank God for his grace, his mercy that he has shown us. In Matthew 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Redeem the summer by evangelizing, telling people the good news, teaching the gospel to all you run into. What are we doing if we're not doing that? Well, we're serving self. We're worried about self. There are plenty of lost souls out in the world today. Why not share with them the good news? The news that can save you, that has all the answers, that takes away the deadliest disease of all time, which is sin. Many Christians say they want opportunities, but often we are surrounded by them. Everywhere you go, there's opportunity to do something to glorify God in every way. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, redeeming the time. We as Christians, once again, Christians don't take vacations from their faith, from Christ. We must use our time for the glory of God. You know, Solomon understood time. He understood life. He had wisdom. He understood all his vanity. What is the purpose of life? To fear God and keep his commandments. That's what Solomon understood. And Solomon had everything. Everything man desires, he had it. Yet, with all his wisdom, he understood none of this matters. There's nothing new under the sun. But to fear God and keep his commandments. That's our purpose. Now, yes, once again, it's okay to take a vacation. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with going to a cabin in the middle of the woods. That's what I like to do, get away from people for a little bit. It's okay to go and travel. We have three boys with us. Their parents are in Paris right now. I'm pretty cool. Wish I could be there. There's nothing wrong with that. But we cannot take a vacation from our faith, because even though we may go to Italy, we may go to Paris, we may go to Tennessee for vacation, there's always lost souls roaming around that we can influenced by how we live as Christians and teaching them the gospel. There's always opportunity. Redeem the summer because the days are evil. Once again, we see in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, because the days are evil. But in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We know the world is not neutral. It serves a side, but not the side of God. We know the world promotes immodesty, drinking, lust, selfishness, entertainment, pride, and spiritual indifference. We know that's what the world promotes. And so that's why we cannot afford to be spiritually asleep. In Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 11, and do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. That phrase is important there. Make no provision for the flesh. We don't serve the flesh. We don't serve sin. We serve God, a holy and just God that commands us to imitate Him, to live as He has called us to live. If we are making provisions for the flesh, then we need to go back to where it all began. And where did it all begin? Within the Word of God. We need to remind ourselves daily not to give in, but to keep moving forward, to keep walking as wise, not as unwise. Redeem the summer by understanding the will of the Lord. In verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, on account of this, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do we understand what the will of the Lord is? Hopefully we do. But we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, having been thoroughly equipped for every good work. Where do we go when we need to understand what the will of the Lord is? We go to His inspired Word. That's where we learn what to do, how we are to walk. The opposite of foolishness is understanding God's will. And so God's Word equips us, guides us, and corrects us. People wonder why their spiritual life is a mess, why they're struggling with sin. Do you spend time in His Word? Do you spend time in prayer? Do you give Him any time during the day? And most of them will say, I don't give enough time. Well, that's why. That's why you struggle with sin. That's why your spiritual life is a mess, because you're not giving Him the time of day. A Christian cannot say, this is my summer, I will do what I want. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. This very body that we have, that God has given us, that was bought with a price. It's not our body. And we are to use this body to glorify God in every way. Even during the summer, even during the winter, fall, I skip fall because winter just takes over. We must use our body. We must use our time to glorify Him. If Jesus bought us with His blood, then every season belongs to Him. And so the question this morning is, are you walking wisely through the summer season? Are you walking wisely through the summer season? And that's the question you need to answer. And if the answer is no, then something needs to change this morning. You need to change this morning. If you're not a Christian, understand, there's nothing this world can offer you that can compare to what God offers you. It cannot compare. If you want true freedom from sin, because as of right now, if you're not a Christian, you are a slave to sin. And slave is a cruel master. It costs you everything. If you want freed from that master, then this is what you must do. You must hear the word which you have heard today, Romans 10:17. You must believe, Mark 16:16. Then you must repent, which means change. Your mind, your heart's changed, and you're turning back to God. You realize in that moment, I don't want this anymore. I don't want sin. I don't want to be a slave to sin. I don't want to be a slave to flesh. I want to go back to the source of life, and that is God. But then you must confess your faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10. As Paul says to the Romans in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Confessing our faith in Jesus as the Son of God before all, not just before the church, not before God, but before all, we are to make that great confession. But it doesn't stop there like so many false doctrines teach. We are to obey. And what does obedience look like? We are immersed for the forgiveness of our sins. We are being buried with Christ. Our old self, our old sinful self is being crucified. As Paul would say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Our old self is being put to death, and the blood of Christ washes over us, making us white as snow. When we are raised up as Christ was raised from the dead, we are now walking in newness of life. We are now His. We are now heirs to the kingdom. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. And that means no vacations from being a Christian. We are to live every season, every day, like Christ. But if you were a Christian and you have fallen away, use this time wisely now to come forward, to repent, and be restored to the kingdom. If you need any assistance, I pray that this morning you come as we stand and as we sing.